Chapter 1. So you think you can tell a smile from a veil? Do you think you can tell? Pink Floyd, Wish You Were Here. If you're like me, you've noticed these little red flags in the physical universe, the ones that hint all is not what it seems. Maybe you haven't acted on them. I didn't for a long time. I was too busy stopping things. But these little flags, these little anomalies have caught your attention, made you wonder, made you think about God. They might have made you uneasy for a millisecond, but if you're like most people, you find it easy to go back to accepted reality, to go back to living what might actually be the dream, looking at life through what might actually be a veil. Here's what I mean. Ever been driving along an interstate and suddenly you realize you have no real recollection of the last 30 miles? It's a little unnerving. You have been so intent on your own internal reality that you haven't noticed anything about the reality around you. The green exit signs, the towering cumulus clouds to your right near the horizon, the Bruce Springsteen song on the car's radio. You weren't aware of any of that. It's spooky. But in 2 seconds, you dismiss that peculiarity, and you're driving again. What's spookier yet is that a good portion of people's lives may be lived like those 30 miles on automatic pilot. But there are these little red flags you occasionally notice about the apparent reality of the physical universe. Strange little events that wake you up momentarily from those hypnotic 30 miles on the interstate. Little moments of apparent discontinuity in space or time, non sequiturs in the expected ebb and flow of the physical universe around us. Unnerving moments when we awake for just a second, but that we immediately dismiss. This book is about not dismissing them. The first time one of these moments happened to me was one afternoon when I was about 10. I had gone down to the garage my dad ran in the small town in Ohio where I grew up. I was a lot like my father then. He was a mechanic, a technician, and he measured himself only by what he created, not by the outward image he projected to others. He and I had a soda from the pop machine, and then I went around to the back of the garage. I walked across the lot, littered with a dozen automobile carcasses in various states of disrepair, and I sat down on rough grass on the top of a bank next to the railroad tracks. I did some of my best childhood meditating there. Something about that spot brought out my curiosity about the world. That afternoon, I focused on a tall grain elevator about a half mile away in a field on the other side of the railway tracks. It was about 100 feet high, and it was a flat tan color. The name Case, painted in huge black letters, circled its flank. The more I looked at it, the more I felt I could connect with it. Then, the more I started to think about its physical presence in its actual location, as if I was no longer viewing it from a distance, the more I could feel it, as opposed to seeing it through my body's eyes as an object distant from me, I could feel where it was and where I was, simultaneously. As I did this, the physical universe around me became quieter and quieter. Then in one moment, which could have lasted no time at all or forever, I could experience with certainty both the exact location of my body and of the tower, like two poles in one of my dad's car batteries. All normal appreciation of distance and separation vanished for me in that split second. All normal perception of the physical universe as a group of solid, heavy objects ceased. The world seemed more like an illusion, light, airy, playful, something imagined, a creation, a thin veil. It took my breath away. You should try it sometime. This experience was the physical equivalent of déjà vu, that simultaneous experience of the past and the present. It's an anomaly in time that pops you out of the stream of an otherwise sequential reality. That afternoon, for me, it happened in space, not time, but it still got my attention.